Hello again. You're listening to the News at One. A leading planning professor and advisor to the government has called for changes to building standards for high density and build-to-rent apartments because inadequate ventilation and crowded buildings pose an infection risk during the COVID pandemic. Orla Hegarty, assistant professor at the School of Architecture, Planning and Environmental Policy at UCD, has told this programme housing changes in recent years for more density may need to be reassessed in light of public health. Her comments come in this exclusive report by Kian McCormack for News at One, examining how history has taught us that the more fresh air and space we have inside our buildings, the more we fend off illness and stop viral infection.
Architecture has always been about public health. Once people move indoors, they need to be in sanitary conditions. They need to have water and fresh air and clean surroundings.
The links between ventilation, architecture and public health go back a long way, according to Orla Hegarty, assistant professor at the School of Architecture, Planning and Environmental Policy at UCD.
Ventilation has always been a part of architecture, particularly in buildings where people gather and where there are crowds. And that goes back as far as the design of the cathedrals when they had very high ceilings and air was drawn in at the bottom, just naturally through having the doors open.
Public health emergencies of the past have influenced how buildings are designed and ventilated. The Spanish flu pandemic saw authorities in Chicago avoiding a second wave by tackling ventilation in crowded buildings.
They closed all of the buildings where people congregated. They systematically then did ventilation inspections on those buildings. Seems that there was an awful lot of building work going on for about 6 weeks when people were getting buildings up to scratch and being passed by the building inspectors. They didn't have a second wave. They opened in December of 1918.
In Ireland, TB had an impact on how buildings were designed.
People will be familiar with a lot of the older school buildings, which had higher ceilings and very good ventilation, even windows between corridors and classrooms to increase the cross ventilation. We have some housing in Dublin designed in the 1940s where there were bed spaces on balconies for TB patients. And we even have overcrowding regulations from the 1960s in housing, which is to do with the amount of free air. So ventilation space in bedrooms was the basis of overcrowding regulations in housing. But as we've moved into the last 50 years or so, we've moved away from that.
Orla Hegarty says in some cases, people are living and working in what amounts to a sealed box.
We've also been squeezing down our buildings and sealing our buildings and overcrowding our buildings more. As we've moved into more modern homes, we have been sealing up the drafts and we have triple glazed windows and we don't have chimneys in houses anymore. So we're effectively living in a sealed box and a lot of them aren't adequately ventilated.
Orla Hegarty is a member of an expert group that advises government on the role of ventilation in reducing transmission of COVID-19. Its chair is Professor John Wenger from the School of Chemistry at University College Cork. He says we need to look at ventilation to keep indoor areas safe.
Well, ventilation is important because the virus is mainly spread through the air. You know, I think that looking back over history, we'll know that fresh air was our best friend in fighting infection, and we've lost that element. The way that we do things now, we need to emphasise the importance of fresh air. If we're outdoors, that's great, but we also need to bring the fresh air inside as well, and it is especially important during COVID times.
Dr. Marie Coggins, an expert in exposure science at the School of Physics at NUI Galway, says ventilation is only one part of a number of measures to help prevent viral spread in indoor settings.
We need to think about, a layered approach to improving indoor air. That includes ventilation, reduced exposure time, reduced occupancy indoors, the distancing, and also masking. There are simple measures we can all do now to improve ventilation and airflow through our buildings. You know, we can make sure that our wall vents and trickle vents are unblocked. And if we have access to high level ventilation, such as roof lights, we can use that ventilation. We should also avoid recirculating of air. And of course, then we can also invest in other systems like CO2 monitoring to help us identify when more ventilation is needed indoors.
While these are immediate solutions, there are changes that could have longer reach into the future. Again, Orla Hegarty.
I do think we need to look at the apartment standards again very closely, particularly for build-to-rent apartments. These were reduced a number of years ago, and there isn't a requirement for cross-ventilation now. They're not required to have balconies, which makes it very difficult to air out a room. And the room sizes have got smaller, with a lot of people sharing a long corridor. So that's a very similar type building to the situations they've had in quarantine hotels in Australia, where the internal corridor is poorly ventilated and where people are being infected between different rooms across the corridor. So I do think that some of the housing changes in recent years for more density maybe need to be reassessed in light of public health.
Professor John Wenger says this pandemic will have a lasting impact.
This will lead to design changes. I think we need to factor in the possibility of future pandemics, and that there will be a higher standard of regulation possibly on buildings in terms of ventilation, and the filtration of air, the role of ventilation will be greatly improved in overall building design. So I can see that being part of our future.
And that was Professor John Wenger ending that report from Cian McCormack.